Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for the super polished, yet to be named Smart Baseball Weekly segment with Eno Harris. Saris, son of a bitch.
Hold on. Remix.
Brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from the ballpark by the bay in Chula Vista. Here's Eno Saris with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah, I hate to be a broken record as we bring Eno back with us
on
the Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline, but Eno, guess what happened to the Padres this week? They failed to hit with runners in scoring position. They lost some games that they should have won, and we're all sitting here in panic mode. You know, more than a quarter of the way through the season now.
Yeah. Let's it's a remix.
It is a remix. Son of a bitch. It is a remix, Eno Saris. If it gives Padre fans any comfort, and I don't think it does, the guys that are on our squad are certainly not the only superstars in Major League Baseball not performing right now. And, you know, you just did a really cool piece. I do want to get to your sticky stuff piece you wrote, because I was telling the guys about the contraption, the $5,000 contraption. That would pretty much, for me, signal the end of baseball as we know it, if they wheel that thing out at every stadium. But we'll get to that in a moment. I want to talk about the hitting. You know, what's up with this guy, part two, examining 7 struggling hitters. Now, on your list, you've got one Padre right now, and it's Xander Bogaerts, preseason rank for Yahoo, the 39th best player in baseball, best hitter. Now he's at 245, but he's far from alone. Some really, really big stars at the top of the list: Trey Turner, Julio Rodriguez, Austin Riley, guys that we, George Springer, guys we expect to mash and mash often. It's just not clicking so far this season.
Yeah, and, you know, for the most part, I'm positive on a lot of them. You know, the ones I'm less positive about are the older ones. And I think there's a little bit of hope in there for Padres fans, because, you know, the players that I'm the least upbeat about are guys like Jose Abreu, who is 36.
Yeah.
And you know, at 36 years old, 175 plate appearance of super struggle bunny. You know, in the past, there have been 87 players his age or older that have had seasons that started like this. Only 21 of them had another 200 plate appearances, and only one of them had an OPS over 800.
Wow.
And that was Andre Dawson. So the odds are super stacked against him. Even somebody like Starling Marte at 34, you know, he's going to have to do better than most 34-year-olds to get back on the horse. And I think he's pretty athletic, so even if he's lost some, you know, he'll be all right. But the nice thing about the Padres is they're not really old, you know, like, you know, they're not depending on Nelson Cruz, you know.
Yeah, they look it. They do. They do look old, and it is.
But they aren't actually.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, I did notice something when I was looking up the team this week for my 3-0 podcast. So in May, they have a top 10, they have a top 5 bullpen and the sixth best rotation, the Padres do. And I think that passes the smell test. If you've been looking at that bullpen, it's coming together, right? Like, the bullpen's not the reason they're in trouble.
Yeah.
Nope.
And the rotation's been fine. Yeah, not every game is pitched flawlessly, but like they've been pretty good. And it's been the lineup, which is, I think, was 20th best. And The other thing I noticed was in the top 10. So I looked at increase in slider percentage year over year for batters. And in the top 10, you see Manny Machado, Juan Soto, Trent Grisham, and Jake Cronenworth. So four out of the top 10 biggest increases in slider percentage are on the Padres. So I'm wondering if they've got sort of a go-get-it philosophy, you know, hit that pitch out in front and hit it for power, and if they're being fed a ton of sliders in response. And if that is the case, I don't know, like, you know, sometimes you got to have let it travel in your bag, right? And so you got to, you know, to get out of a slump and be like, I'm going to let it travel. I'm going to hit it the other way. And that means I'm going to hit some sliders the other way too. And,
yep.
But I'm going to actually hit them, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe the power will go down for a little bit, but we'll start hitting some singles and then we'll start getting more fastballs and then we can hit the fastballs for power. So, you know, I wonder if there's something there, an adjustment to how many sliders they're seeing.
You know, as someone who deals with baseball statistics more than just about anyone else, in your opinion, how many at-bats does it take in the big leagues before you have a sense like, okay, we know who this guy is now? I mean, is it more than a full season? Is it 3 years, like 1,000 at-bats? Where do you kind of draw the line where we can now predict what kind of player this is based on his past performance?
That is a great question, because you've got guys like Alec Thomas coming up for the D-backs. And they gave him, you know, they gave him about, let's see how many plate appearances they gave him, 534 before they sent him back down combined in the first two seasons. I think that's a little light, and I don't think that the Diamondbacks would say that they've given up on him, right? You know, around then became time to be like, well, he hasn't been a league average player in the big leagues yet, so he needs to go back down and work on some stuff, right? So I would think around 1,000 plate appearances, is where you can start to say, we were maybe a little bit wrong about how good this player can be.
All right, that's fair. I wanted to connect it to the Padres because most of the guys on the team have well over that.
Oh, you're asking sort of like in one, oh no. Yeah. So there's the career versus,
yeah.
I was talking career, but you mean in 1 year?
No, I'm talking about career.
Career.
Like,
yeah.
You know, like Xander Bogaerts. Yeah. We've seen enough of Xander. We've seen enough of Manny, obviously,
right,
to know what kind of players they
players.
Are.
Yep.
The guy that I'm leaning toward is Trent Grisham, because I thought in the first couple of years of Trent Grisham, we had a pretty good idea of who he was. You know, decent hitter, going to hit, you know, 250, 260 with some power. You know, he's got a good eye, is disciplined at the plate. And now we've got about 1,000 plate appearances or more in the last couple of years of a completely different guy who's been terrible. And I'm just trying to figure out, like, where
change of him. Yeah.
Yeah. When do we decide that Trent Grisham is no longer the player we thought he was?
Yeah. I mean, what's interesting is that if you just take the sum of everything he has done in the big leagues and compare that to his rest of season projections, it's virtually identical.
Wow.
So, basically he is all of those things wrapped up into one, but that also means that the 250 hitter might be gone, you know? So in terms of rest of season projections, 215 to 220, 315 on base percentage, and a sub 400 slugging percentage.
Good defense, but at some point,
with
that OBP, it's almost league average. And with the defense, it's still a good player. But that's why I was talking about trying Tatis in center.
Yeah.
You know, a couple episodes ago on the show, was just that, you know, this is the type of player that you could really love as a fourth outfielder, I think. You know what I mean? Like,
good idea.
Come in,
yeah.
Play good defense, get on base. So, like, if I was looking for something to goose this team along, I'd be looking for a corner outfielder, and I'd be trying Tatis in center, because there's no reason Tatis can't be a center fielder. And if you're paying him the money you're paying him, he should probably play a premium defensive position.
It's a really, really good point. We talked about yesterday, there was somebody made a really astute point about, you know, they're talking about catching here, and catching's a big issue, and there's just not a lot of catchers, you know, and the teams that have,
you can't get a catcher.
You can't get a catcher. So in order to be able to deal with, you know, Austin Nola and his catching woes, his inability to throw out base runners, his lack of hitting, lack of production, and to be able to deal with that, you might just have to upgrade the positions around him, and meaning you can't have Trent Grisham in a lineup as well. It's a weird way to think of it, but it actually makes sense, and that is the same principle that you're applying to Tatis and Grisham, and I really that makes a lot of sense to me in my head, because there's no one's giving up a catcher, no one for in the Rockies,
and no one's giving up a center fielder.
Yeah, no one's giving up a center fielder. Exactly.
When the Phillies needed a center fielder, they had to give up their best catching prospect, right? So that kind of circles our whole story.
Like, that's exactly right.
You know, I mean, I guess you could try to get tickle somebody with Campusano, but I don't think Campusano's, you know, I think his stock has fallen a little bit.
Yeah.
So I think you'd rather Campusano gets healthy and maybe he can help you a little bit behind the dish.
Yep.
And you can just go get a corner outfielder. There's definitely some corner outfielders on bad teams that should be available, maybe even soon, you know?
Yeah, no question about it. Talking to our pal Eno Saris, writes for The Athletic, the super polished, yet to be named Smart Baseball Weekly segment. It is a mouthful, but then again, so is the ASTM D6195 adhesive loop tack, which is the new machine that Eno has found.
We need a nickname for that thing.
It needs a nickname. Nuke. Right? So sticky stuff remains an issue in baseball. Players are getting suspended. Players are having to run off the field and wash their hands. It's a thing. And, you know, I made the point off the air this morning. I said, the thing about baseball players, you know, and I know you'll agree with this, you know, in I believe it's Japan or Korea, one of the two, they do have a tackier ball, and it's everyone uses it, and it's fine. We would get the tackier ball, and then guys would still be trying to find a way to improve on that to get an extra 100 RPMs. This test that Dr. Dan Adams has been doing, explain to our audience about the AST-E6195 adhesive loop tack.
Well, so my problem is, like, one of the reasons I broke the sticky stuff story was because I didn't like selective enforcement. I didn't like the idea that maybe the game would be big enough where you risk the blowback and ding the guy, you know, because everybody was kind of doing it and only Michael Pineda was getting in trouble, you know? So I didn't like the selectivity, but now we've got subjectivity because we've got an umpire out there massaging hands going, is this too sticky? I don't know, you know, going hands through hair, being like, I don't know, is there a problem here? It's kind of sticky, I don't know. And so it seems very subjective now, and I would like something objective. So I went to the world of industrial testing, and yes, you're right, it's like one of those big old supercomputers. It's too big.
It's huge.
It's not like 5 feet tall, but it's, you know, it's like 2.5-3 feet tall, and you would have to be in the dugout or something. My point is not so much that we're going to wheel that machine out, and that you're right, it would be ridiculous if that was on the field. But my point is that they do have the technology to test for tackiness in industry. And if that could be adapted to baseball somehow, that would be cool. But then, you know, in the story, I had a better example, a better test that is also objective. So what you need is a constant force, and gravity is a constant force, even in Denver. Versus San Diego, gravity is constant. And so what you just need is a ball that's lighter than a baseball but covered in leather, and then you stick that ball. So imagine a wiffle ball covered in leather, right? So it looks like a baseball, but it's lighter. And you stick that ball on their hand, and if it doesn't fall, they're popped.
That's incredible. Imagine that. All right, you got to stick it. Instead of flipping your hand this way, palm up, you hold your hand palm down, and they stick the ball to it.
Stick this thing, and if it doesn't drop, you're bang.
I'm picturing OJ on trial trying to put on the gloves. Like, they're shaking a little here, trying to get it to fall.
What's brilliant about this is that the pitchers could have a light ball. So you could actually distribute this light ball to the team, and pitchers could have a light ball in the dugout and test it themselves before they run out.
Before the inning.
That's
not bad, man.
I mean, it's better than having, like, I'm picturing you when you go to the airport and you go through the TSA screen and you have to put your arms above your head and it spins around you. Just each pitcher as they walk off the field goes through the TSA screener machine before they get back into the dugout. I agree with you, though. You know, it's totally unfair to umpires to make them, first of all,
don't
touch another man just, you know, intimately every single inning, and then have to decide what they think is sticky. I mean, we all have days where we feel a little stickier than other days. It's just natural.
Yeah, what if the what if the umpire is sticky that day?
Right, yeah, what if he's sticky? It's so funny. So funny. Well,
what if that one umpire, Kuzi or whatever, the guy who's popped like almost everybody that's been popped for this, what if he's just a sticky dude?
No, he's a sticky guy. He eats Laffy Taffys before the game. No, I mean, look, it's
just a real sweaty dude.
It doesn't get any easier for the Padres. The schedule, we thought this was going to be the soft part. Every game feels like it's game seven as a fan to watch, you know. But, you know, hopefully by this time next week when we catch up with you, there'll be some dubs in the tank and you know, some guys getting some knocks, because it is a really frustrating watch right now, to be honest with you.
They gotta get Manny back.
Yep.
Once they get Manny back, hopefully they'll start playing to the back of their cards. None of them are so old that, you know, you think they're done. And then, you know, once they start, the offense starts going, you hope that the pitching stays where it is.
Right.
You just don't want that thing where, like, then the pitching falls apart.
Yeah, the pendulum.
But I think probably I'm not saying that the division is like impossible, but I think at this point they're just hoping to stay in the, you know, the race for like 88 or whatever.
Yep.
And get one of those wild card spots, because I do think, like, you get into the playoffs, they're a good enough team to have a run if everyone's like on the same page. Like, just the idea of Soto, Machado, Tatis as a 3-4-5 or a 2-3-4. That's pretty good if they're going well. So, you know, they've still got a quality team, and I think they also haven't had that, like, you know, every team has that run where you're just like, I don't know why, but they've just won 10 in a row, you know, and they just haven't had that yet, you know, like they haven't even gotten lucky.
Yeah, know? No luck.
They are an incredibly unlucky team as well.
They really are.
They make some of their own bad luck, but they've been pretty unlucky as well. I think anyone would agree with what they've seen. Eno, we're out of time. Appreciate it. As always, we'll talk to you next Thursday.
All right. Thanks for having me.
That was Eno Saris, sponsored by 7 Mile Casino, featuring all of your favorite table games, like California-style blackjack, poker, and baccarat. Just 7 minutes from the ballpark.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.